T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's head out to the Harbor One Hotline. Joining us now, it's Mike Lombardi. Our conversation with Mike Lombardi is sponsored by Town Fair Tire. By Zuti, build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. And by McFarlane Energy, check out McFarlane's new customer oil delivery special at McFarlaneEnergy.com. And by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. Download the DraftKings app today and use the code WEEI to get in on the action. Mike, it's Brian Barrett and Jermaine Wiggins in for the guys today. Thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. Hello, Brian. Hello, Jermaine.
All right, Mike, let's start with last week. So Cam Newton, he has those 5 passes batted down, 4 by J.J. Watt. After the game, he's asked about it, and he said, well, he's J.J. Watt, but 5 batted balls is a lot. Did you see something in terms of the issue that Cam was having with that particular play where J.J. Watt just continually is able to bat down his passes?
I mean, J.J. Watt's an elite pass batter downer. I mean, it's really some, you know, you try to formation away from him where you want to throw the football. I mean, he's been that way his entire career. He has a hard time. He has a great timing. He's able to get it. He's got long arms. He's tall. It's hard to get the ball over. And unfortunately, you know, he got his hands on it. But I don't think it was anything Cam was doing. I think it was a lot of how he's able to make those plays. I think when you look at his career and you look at any time the Patriots have tried to play him, they've tried to formation away from the throwing, especially when Brady was there. It's a little harder. They kept putting Watt to the tight end side to take away the strong side run game. It made it more challenging. So if you want to throw the ball strong side, it became a little more problematic. They weren't allowing you to move him around as they used to do in their 34 defense. Hello?
Well, Mike, another thing I would say about Cam Newton last week, it felt like they put the ball in his hands a lot more and he was throwing more than we've seen in previous weeks. The run-pass ratio a little bit different. How do you think Cam performed in general in that game? Were you impressed with him or did you come away disappointed?
No, I think I was impressed. I think the reason that they were unable to ever get control, the other quarterback played really well. They didn't cover very well in the game. They couldn't get any pass rush whatsoever on Deshaun Watson, and he made plays when he needed to make the plays in the game. I mean, I thought the Patriots played as well as they can play. Look, there's really no little margin for error with their offense. They don't have explosiveness, you know, especially at the tight end position, which affects everything else. So, you know, I think Cam was the least of the problems on Sunday. I think their defense, especially the back end of their defense in terms of covering and also in terms of rushing the passer. I mean, Watson barely had his uniform touched or got dirty.
Mike Lombardi's with us on the Harbor One Hotline. Mike, what percent chance would you put it at that that next year that Cam Newton is still the quarterback of the Patriots?
You know, Brian, I wouldn't know that. I don't know. I think it depends on what the marketplace is. I mean, that's a variable that I couldn't really answer. I think he's gotten better since this COVID thing, and he's been able to practice. That I do know.
Mike, one of the things that I kind of look into going into a football game, when you're not running the ball particularly well or you kind of want to get away from the run, Bill talked about it, they were throwing the football well. What makes them make that decision to say, okay, we're gonna continue to throw it rather than run it, because they kind of got away from Damian Harris a little bit?
Well, they did, because I think what happened was, you know, that every strong side run they wanted to run was Watts sitting over there, and then they rotated the coverage into the weak side. So it's really kind of a hard way to get your run game going. And they were getting stuffed at the line of scrimmage, especially at the tight end position, as you know, Jermaine. I mean, if you want to try to run the ball strong side and the tight ends are a yard in the backfield, it's kind of hard to get going. It's hard to get your things going. And then all the inside runs through penetration and movement become even more problematic. I mean, Watt did a great job in that game, and he was really responsible. He's tried. He did the same thing to the Lions. Not that the Lions have a good running game at all, because we know they're ranked in the bottom 30 of the league. But the reality of it is it becomes problematic when one side you can't run, and then you've got to go the other one, and the other side's just not there. So I do think, you know, when you look at that game, I think that was a big issue. They didn't have the right. Didn't have a matchup for Watt.
Now, the thing that I look at, and I know you talked about it as a tight end position, how difficult is it to game plan? You know, you talk about it when you got a tight end that can't really set the edge, and you don't have a tight end that can contribute in any way in the passing game. How difficult is it to kind of put a game plan together, and what do you have to do when you have those type of problems that it seems like the Patriots are having at their tight end position?
You know, it's really a challenge. I think in a non-COVID world, we would have seen more tight ends coming in and out of the building, you know, and trying to get another player to go in there. But, you know, and the two draft picks have not proven to be ready to play this season. It doesn't mean they can't play. It just means they're not ready to play right now. And so I think ultimately, you know, that's the real challenge. There's not a lot of great tight ends. I mean, look, there's two kinds of tight ends in the National Football League. Guys that can play on the line and guys that move. And then the guys that play on the line, they have to do protection. They've got to be in 70-man protection. They got to be able to control the end of the line. If you want to have any kind of strong side run game, if you want to run any gap schemes, you've got to be able to block somebody over there, and it's a challenge. And, you know, Ryan Izzo's doing his all he can. He's tough, but sometimes he's just really limited in what he can actually bring to the table. And it's been a thorn in the side of the Patriots now for 2 years. Go back, Matt LaCrosse. I mean, they didn't get this position fixed in the offseason. They haven't gotten it fixed during there, and I think it's probably one of the things driving Coach Belichick crazy is they haven't been able to get this to get a reliable player in this position, which really helps feed everybody else.
Mike Lombardi's with us on the Harbor One Hotline. All right, so you go from Deshaun Watson, who was obviously tremendous last week, now to Kyler Murray. What makes Murray so difficult to game plan for, Mike?
Well, I think it's his feet, Brian. I think it's his ability to move with the football. I think that's really the challenge. I think when you look at his games and you watch him and the movement in the pocket and the ability to extend plays, and, you know, he's averaging almost 7 yards a carry. I mean, he has almost as many carries this year as he did all of last year, and that's only after 10 games. I mean, he's been dynamic. He's got 10 touchdowns running the football. 10 touchdowns running. He's thrown 19 passing. You know, so he's really a challenge with his ability to move. Last year he was sacked quite a bit, got sacked over 45 times. This year he's only been sacked 16 times because he's really good at moving the pocket. But make no mistake about it, he is a runner. He is part of their running game, and you've got to handle him in the running game. And if you force him to throw the ball outside the numbers from the pocket, you'll gain an advantage. You will gain a significant advantage in the game. But that's easier said than done. It's really challenging to do that because he's got such a dynamic arm and he's got such an ability to extend and make plays. I mean, the throw for the Hail Mary is one of the great throws of all time. He's rolling to his left, throws across his body, and he throws a strike down the field 50 yards. I mean, he's got an incredible arm. Now, that being said, I think he was hurt last week. I think there's no doubt about it. In the Seattle game, that shoulder bothered him. He missed practice Wednesday and Thursday. I'm sure they're going to say he's fine. But look, if he gets hit and lands on that shoulder again, it's going to be a problem. Are they going to have to put some injection in there to make the pain go away? Or is he going to play as is? Those are questions that you get answered in the first quarter and to see how he's throwing the football. But last week against Seattle on the Thursday night game, he wasn't throwing the ball like Kyler Murray throws the ball with that zip and that fastball. And I think that's really going to be the challenge that the Patriots face is what's he going to be like throwing the football, and can we limit him from throwing the ball inside to the middle of the field? Because when he throws it outside, when you force him to throw it to the right sideline, he's under seven. He's at like 6'2" per attempt. When you throw him to the left sideline, he's slightly better. But in the middle of the field, he's over 8, and he's dangerous.
Mike, one thing about the draft, it's probably not an exact science, right? We're kind of seeing that with N'Keal Harry. One of the things that always intrigued me as, you know, as a former player and now somebody who just kind of sits there and watches it is just to kind of get into the mindset a little bit of what it is that you guys like yourself and Bill Belichick do when you're trying to evaluate talent. How much do you put on the measurables versus the on-field performance you see these guys playing in college versus, you know, senior bowls and some of those all-star games to try to figure out, you know, to hit as close as we can, especially on some of those late first round draft picks?
Well, I think the challenge in college, more than anything, is to really understand and define what you're looking for, the role that you want the player to perform in. And you've got to make sure you nail the character down. That's hard because you don't get a lot of the straight answers from the colleges. They've got to protect their players. They've got to protect their program. So work ethic, character off the field, those are hard challenges to get. Measurables, really, how you rate those really come by positions. Because so often, you know, a guy's dinged for, you know, look at the Robinson kid down at Jacksonville, college free agent, undrafted, really a good running back this year. Ran 4.62 at the combine, got dinged because of height, weight, and speed. But yet running back is an instinctive position. Running back is got balance and instincts that come into play. So you've got to kind of balance those two areas, and you've got to see how it holds up. So for me, that's critical. And each position is uniquely different. You know, defensive lineman, you got to value speed, because if you have some guy who doesn't run very well and he's trying to chase Patrick Mahomes, you know, I don't care how well he plays at Iowa State or how well he plays at North Dakota State, he's not catching Patrick Mahomes at 5'4". So you got to be really careful with all those.
Hey, Mike, before we let you go, I'm just wondering, Cliff Kingsbury, when he was hired there in Arizona, a lot of people mocked the decision by them to bring him in because he had this, you know, he came from Texas Tech, he got fired, he was just going to be the offensive coordinator at USC, but obviously having some success in year two. Has he made a lot of changes to his scheme offensively that you notice?
Oh, no, there's no doubt. I mean, look, he is always in. He's got a tight end on the field more often than not. He'll still have four receivers on the field. But, you know, he's got, you know, he's in two wide receivers. I mean, Kyler Murray's thrown the ball over 50 times with two wide receivers on the field. You know, he's thrown the ball over 90 times with three receivers on the field. And they've run the ball more out of their one-back looks. Now, he's going to go into some four wide receivers, but he's done a really good job of utilizing two tight ends, three tight ends, and trying to get that, trying to change the personnel groupings to get the matchup he likes. That's not the Washington State, Texas Tech, Mike Leach offense that Kingsbury was first introduced to as a player. This is a unique hybrid of those systems.
Mike, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it, and enjoy the week and enjoy the games.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Mike joined us on the Harbor One Hotline. Yeah, it's interesting, Wiggy. I remember when he was hired, Cliff Kingsbury, everybody mocked that decision. The guy was literally just fired from his alma mater. And they bring him into Arizona, and everyone's like, what the hell? You just fired Steve Wilks. And I'm not saying he was a great coach, but he only got a year there. They fired him. They bring in Cliff Kingsbury. Everybody's criticizing the decision at the time. And in all likelihood, this Arizona team's going to end up in the playoffs in his second year coaching.
Well, I think Mike made a good point. You got to be able to evolve as a coach, right? You can't really play that style of – I mean, we saw this a few years ago with that Chip Kelly – Oregon offense where they were, you know, up and down the field in like 5 seconds, right? They would never huddle. But in the NFL, those type of offenses don't work. People defensively, they catch up to that. So, and with Cliff Kingsbury, you know, it's about making sure you have a tight end on the football field. You can't play in the NFL and have four wide receivers, five wide receivers, and never have a tight end on the football field and think that, you know, you're going to be able to go out there and run the football and do certain things. So I think it's about how much you're willing to evolve as a coach, and maybe there's some of the things that you've been taught from, you know, the different offenses that you've been in, and saying, okay, I like my four wide receiver sets, but I'm still going to start to learn to incorporate more of tight end and multiple tight end. So I think that's the one thing that we've seen Cliff Kingsbury do.
And you know what else, Wiggy? I mean, you talk about a franchise that got incredibly lucky and a GM in Steve Keim that got incredibly lucky to keep his job. Think about what he did. He was there. He hires Steve Wilks. He drafts Josh Rosen. So he drafts a quarterback and he signs a head coach that last offseason, okay? So he messes up the quarterback draft, and you could argue whether or not Steve Wilks would have been a good coach, but in the eyes of the organization, you messed up the coaching hiring. You get to hire a head coach, and you get to pick the next quarterback who ends up going number one. You have the number one pick the next year. They could not have gotten more lucky, and especially the fact that Steve Keim still has his job. That's incredible. I don't know how many other organizations would say, all right, we just let you hire a coach and draft a quarterback. Even though you sucked last year, let's let you do it again. That's amazing.
Well, that's because that, you know, Kyler Murray looks like he's panning out. They didn't have a horrible first year on the Cliff Kingsbury. Kyler Murray was good in his, you know, he was solid in his first year, and he's like, it looks like he's continuing to get better. Because if they had a horrible first year on the second year on the Kingsbury or his first year, and then the quarterback thing didn't work out, we would be sitting here going, wait a second, you just drafted a guy that didn't work out, you hired a fired a guy that didn't work out, and you brought in two other guys that didn't work out. So it's been fortunate that it has been able to work out a little bit, where, you know, Arizona looks like, you know, they look like they're a solid and very good football team.
Yeah, and it helps too when you can rip off a guy like Bill O'Brien, and all you have to send is a second round pick to the Texans to get, I don't, Wiggy, where do you have DeAndre Hopkins? You got arguably the best receiver in the NFL for a second round draft pick, and we saw Stephon Diggs of Buffalo the same day get traded for a first round pick. I mean, that's an indefensible move by O'Brien, of course. You think Hopkins the best guy in the league?
I think he's up there. He's definitely up there. He's definitely top three. You know what I mean? You think about him, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones. Yeah, he's definitely one of those players where you go and you go, all right, this guy's legit. But we've seen Billy O'Brien do it before, right? He got rid of Jadeveon Clowney. Then, you know, there was the issues that he was having after you got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. And then there was some issues going on with J.J. Watt where he was saying things on social media. So you could start to see things were unraveling there. And, you know, and Cliff Kingsbury, talk about, you know, that one landing in your lap. If you can get, you know, I would have gave up a first round all day long for DeAndre Hopkins.
No kidding. And all I can say is, hey, Kime, he's the luckiest general manager in the history of the NFL. It was so lucky. Kyler Murray falls into the lap at one, and then Bill O'Brien's just trading everything away. So you get a second round pick to get DeAndre Hopkins. Unbelievable. Everything has worked out for the Cardinals, and they did nothing to deserve it. He messed up the quarterback. He messed up the head coach, and he gets rewarded with a Heisman Trophy winner in Kyler Murray, and he gets rewarded with DeAndre Hopkins. Incredible to me. Without doing anything to achieve that, just his team sucked. All right, a lot more to get into. We're with you until 7. The number 617-779-7937. We'll continue to hit on the Patriots as they get ready for the Cardinals coming up on Sunday. I feel like the Patriots have the worst future in the division. I'll tell you why in just a little bit, and we'll get you trending in just a second here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.